One in three people who were under the age of 30 in 1946 had left the Republic by 1971.
Professor Dermot Ferriter from University College Dublin has been exploring the history of Irish migration over the last 200 years.
It really is about the mass exodus that was prompted by the trauma of the famine. The famine led to the emigration of over 1 million, and from a country the size of Ireland, that was truly epic. It was the continuance of an emigration that had actually begun before the famine in the early 19th century, nothing on that scale, but it really did exacerbate that situation. So by the middle of the 19th century, you're actually talking about overall about 2 million emigrating at that stage. So 1 million directly as a result of the famine, and then all the emigration that comes after that. So it really is the defining issue of modern Ireland in that sense when you talk about the scattering of the Irish.
Is there anything like the scale of Irish emigration in any other developed society?
There isn't.
By the early part of the 20th century, the sheer scale of emigration could not be ignored by Irish leaders. On March 17th, 1936, Eamon de Valera addresses all the Irish listening on their radios around the world. He tries to keep alive the notion of an idealised Ireland at home, while making the emigrants feel as if they are somehow part of a great and romantic story.
Ireland is one of the greatest of the European motherlands. Her children have gone generation after generation to explore new lands, to found new homes, to help building new nations.
In trying to find some comfort in mass emigration, De Valera splices together the economic migrants of the 1930s with the Irish missionaries who preached the gospel in Europe 1,000 years earlier. He turns people leaving because of poverty and unemployment into modern-day missionaries, creating a spiritual empire of Irish values around the world. De Valera's fantasy was a way of coping with the depressing effect of emigration.
I think what we got in the 1920s was political independence. But in fact, since we were part of the British Isles and the economy of the British Isles, we didn't really have economic independence.
Francis Ruane is director of the Economic and Social Research Institute, Ireland's largest think tank.
I think it had a very negative effect on the society, that sense that we couldn't cater for our own. And if you look back at the Commission on Emigration, for example, in the 1950s, you know, it really pointed to a sense of failure as a polity or an economy, that we couldn't actually provide enough jobs, so that there was very large-scale emigration, particularly of young people.
Segment 1.
One in three people who were under the age of 30 in 1946 had left the Republic by 1971.
Professor Dermot Ferriter from University College Dublin has been exploring the history of Irish migration over the last 200 years.
It really is about the mass exodus that was prompted by the trauma of the famine. The famine led to the emigration of over 1 million, and from a country the size of Ireland, that was truly epic. It was the continuance of an emigration that had actually begun before the famine in the early 19th century. Nothing on that scale, but it really did exacerbate that situation.
Segment 2.
So by the middle of the 19th century, you're actually talking about overall about 2 million emigrating at that stage. So 1 million directly as a result of the famine, and then all the emigration that comes after that. So it really is the defining issue of modern Ireland in that sense when you talk about the scattering of the Irish.
Is there anything like the scale of Irish emigration in any other developed society?
There isn't.
By the early part of the 20th century, the sheer scale of emigration could not be ignored by Irish leaders. On March 17th, 1936, Eamon de Valera addresses all the Irish listening on their radios around the world. He tries to keep alive the notion of an idealised Ireland at home, while making the emigrants feel as if they are somehow part of a great and romantic story.
Segment 3.
Ireland is one of the greatest of the European motherlands. Her children have gone generation after generation to explore new lands, to found new homes, to help building new nations.
In trying to find some comfort in mass emigration, De Valera splices together the economic migrants of the 1930s with the Irish missionaries who preached the gospel in Europe 1,000 years earlier. He turns people leaving because of poverty and unemployment into modern-day missionaries, creating a spiritual empire of Irish values around the world.
Segment 4.
De Valera's fantasy was a way of coping with the depressing effects of emigration.
I think what we got in the 1920s was political independence. But in fact, since we were part of the British Isles and the economy of the British Isles, we didn't really have economic independence.
Francis Ruan is director of the Economic and Social Research Institute, Ireland's largest think tank.
I think it had a very negative effect on the society, that sense that we couldn't cater for our own. And if you look back at the Commission on Emigration, for example, in the 1950s, you know, it really pointed to a sense of failure as a polity or an economy that we couldn't actually provide enough jobs, so that there was very large-scale emigration, particularly of young people.